You know, if you look up the word contentment in the dictionary, it says the state of being contented. Don't you like it when they define one word with the same word? State of being contented. Then you look up the word contented, and it means satisfied with things as they are. Not desiring more than what one has. Pleased. No desire to change. And if a person is contented or enjoys contentment, they sit back and say, all is well. I'm happy, I'm pleased. I need to make no change. This morning I preach a sermon entitled, Misplaced Contentment. Misplaced Contentment. And I would tell you this morning that I think every single person in this room, to some degree, is guilty of what I'm going to talk about. Misplacing your contentment. Not misplacing it from the standpoint of losing it, but placing your contentment or basing your contentment in the wrong direction. In fact, I'll just tell you before I start, I think we got it all backwards. I really do. I think we got our contentment in things that we shouldn't be, that we should not be content with, and we are discontent with the things that we should be content with. And so, listen this morning, there'll be some part of this message that will apply to you, and I want you to get it because I think it's important. I think the people that are here this morning in this room that are unsaved, that don't know Jesus as their Savior, have misplaced contentment. They are contented with being lost. They see no need to come to Christ. They see no need to believe on Him. They see no need to ask Him to save them. And if an unsaved person is content, they won't ever get saved. I've heard people say, you can't help somebody get saved until you help them see that they are lost. And I believe that. Until a person realizes that they are lost, they'll never realize the need to get saved. Well, I'll say it a little bit different this morning. Until an unsaved person gets discontented with their unsaved condition, they'll never come to Christ. Many of you that have been around Terry for very long, you've heard him say, as I have several times, that he was a happy sinner. He enjoyed his sin. And many sinners are like that. They have a good time in their sin. And the Bible does say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, that sin is pleasurable for a season. And there are many sinners that enjoy the pleasures of sin. But I say to you this morning that are unsaved, you're only going to enjoy it for a season. Because you need to get the whole story. I'm okay, Brother Jeff. I can make it. I don't need any water. Thanks. But you got to get the whole story. The Bible also says in James chapter 1, verse 15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When it's finished, you may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And many sinners have had a good time, and they've enjoyed the pleasures of sin, and they may be content. But I want you to know this morning that it's only going to last for a season, because sin, when it is done, bringeth forth death. You see, sin separates us from God. I want to ask you this morning, if you're lost, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are separated from your Creator. Are you contented with that? If you die apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. Are you contented with that? If you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. And hell is a place that's, the Bible talks about, it's a place of fire, it's a place of darkness. It's the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. Are you going to be contented to spend an eternity in hell? Without God, you face every... So if you're unsaved, you're separated from God. If you're unsaved, you're going to be separated from Him forever. If you're unsaved, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. And again, you may be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, but when that season is over, you're going to die and go to hell. And the question is, are you going to be contented? when you get to hell? I think not. I don't know. There may be some people here I don't know very well. But I don't need to know you very well to know that when you get to hell, you are not going to be contented. You are not going to enjoy the pleasures of sin in hell. And so you may be contented now in your sin, but I tell you what, it won't last long. You have a horrible future. And the present is not much better. You were made to fellowship with God. You were made for a purpose. Without God, you cannot fulfill that purpose. And so your life is empty in that you are not fulfilling the purpose that God made you to fulfill. Are you contented with that? Without God, we face every trial and heartache by ourselves. I mean, he wants to, we as Christians know the presence of the Holy Spirit. We know the presence of God, and we face no trial or heartache by ourselves. But you that don't know Jesus Christ, every heartache, every trial of life, you face by yourself. Are you contented with that? Navigating through life is hard. And without God, you have to do it on your own. Again, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. But you go it alone. Are you contented with that? And again, I'll say, I don't think anybody in their right mind would say, yeah, preacher, I am contented to face hell. I am contented to spend eternity there. I am contented to live an empty life without the purpose that God has made me for. I don't think any person in their right mind would say they are contented with their future or are contented with their present apart from Jesus Christ. And again, if you're here and you're unsaved, what I'm trying to do this morning is build some discontent in your life. Because until you are discontented in your sin, you will never come to the Savior. And so your future is horrible. Your present is not much better. And I think if you're honest this morning, you would say, I need to make a change. And you do. And what you need is to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And it's sin that separates us from God. In our sin, the Bible says that we are condemned already. And the only way that you can change your future and the only way you can change your present is to come to Jesus Christ. And get out from under the condemnation of sin. And I want you to know this morning, the good news of the gospel of the Bible is that God has already provided a way. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross, and as he did, God took every one of my sins, and he took every one of your sins, and he laid them on his son. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen and amen and amen. Every one of my sins and every one of my transgressions was laid on my Savior. And when he went to the cross, he paid the total price that I owe. Everything. He paid it all. That's why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I say to every unsaved person here this morning, every lost person here this morning, if you ask him, Jesus will save you. You say, I don't have to do anything else? No. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to take communion. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to join the church. All those things are good, and you should do them. But none of them are necessary to come to Jesus Christ. All you have to do is come. Tell them that you're a sinner and you understand there's a penalty for sin and that you believe that Jesus died for your sins. And ask him, and he will save you. He will. Now, I know most of us here this morning are Christians. And some of you are saying, amen, preacher. Preach to those sinners. Let them have it. Okay, I just did. Now let me preach to the saints a little bit before I'm done. Most of us have misplaced contentment as well. We are content with our Christian position, but we are discontent with our position in the world. And again, I'll remind you that contentment or lack of it drives our desire to change. If you are content, you are happy with the way things are, and you have no desire or see no need to change. If you are discontent, you want to change. You desire to change. You see a need to change. And again, I think most of us have it backwards. We are content with the things that we should not be content with, and we are discontented with the things that we should be contented with. You see, many Christians are discontented with their position in the world. And because they're discontented, they want something more. And so they desire a better job, and they desire more money, and they desire a bigger house, and they desire a nicer car, and they desire a greener yard. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, talking about his yard. He said, yeah, I pay True Green $40 a month, and my water bill is triple what my neighbor's is because I water my grass. And he says, I hate to cut the grass. I said, stupid. Why are you paying True Green $40 a month and watering the grass? Just turn off True Green and turn off the water, and you won't have to cut it. I haven't cut mine in 3 weeks. But we're discontented about our position in the world. And the same Christians are content with their Christian position. They're saved. They're going to heaven. And you ask them, do you think you need to read the Bible more? No, I'm content with my Bible reading. Do you think you need to pray more? No, I'm content. I think I pray enough. Are you content with what you give to God's work? No, I tithe. I'm happy with what I give. Are you contented with how much you get to come to church? Oh, yeah, I get to come Sunday morning. I'm content with that. Are you content with how much you witness? Yeah, I get to pass out a tract now and then. And we're happy and satisfied and pleased, and we don't desire more of any of those things. And again, I say to us as Christians this morning, we got it all backwards. Paul said, talking about his position in the world, he said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And he wasn't talking about a state like Michigan and a state like California. He was talking about his physical state in the world. He said in verse 12, I know how to be abased. In other words, I know how to do without. I know how to get by with very little. I know what it is to be in prison. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to not have much. And then he says, I know how to abound. I know what it is to have a lot, and I know what it is to have plenty of food, and I know what it is to be free. But he says, I've learned this. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I can be content with a little, or I can be content with a lot. It doesn't make any difference, because Paul knew that Christ was going to provide everything that he needed. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I will remind you this morning that God knows what we need in this world. He knows what we can handle in this world. And when we are discontent with what God has given us in this world, what we're saying is, God, you just don't know what you're doing. I need more. I can handle more. And I am discontented with what you've given me. And I am going to think, and I am going to plan, and I am going to work to get more. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. I think it's good if you have nice things. And I think the things you have, you ought to keep them nice. You ought to maintain them. You ought to take care of your house. You ought to take care of your car. And I know God gives blessings. And so I'm not against any of that. What I want you to realize this morning is that what God has given us, we need to learn to be content with it. And don't be so discontented that you sacrifice things that should not be sacrificed to make more money so you can buy a bigger house and a nicer car, because you are making the wrong decisions because you have your contentment in the wrong place. You are discontented with things that we should be contented with. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, either having a lot or not having much, therewith to be content. But when it comes to his Christian position, Paul said this from Philippians chapter 3. I haven't arrived yet. I have not yet attained. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What Paul was saying is, I'm not content with how much I read my Bible. I have a desire to read it more. I am not content with how much time I spend in prayer. I want to spend more. He would say, I am not content with how much I am giving to the Lord's work. I want to figure out how I can give more. I am not content with how much I get to come to church. I want to come more. I am not content with how much I witness. I want to witness more. And we got it all backwards. Too many of us are content with how much we read the Bible and how much we pray and how much we come to church and how much we give and how much we witness. And we don't want anything else. We're satisfied with what we got, and there's no desire to want any more. And yet when it comes to the things of the world, even though most of us have nice houses and nice cars and decent jobs and make enough money to get by, we have that desire to want more, to not be satisfied with what God has given us. And as a result, we plan and we work to change it. And again, my main point this morning is we got it all backwards. We got it backwards. We need to become discontent with where we are in our Christian walk and say, God, I'm not satisfied. I want more, more. How much time this week did you spend figuring out how you can spend more time in the Bible? Don't raise your hand. Just think with me. Did you spend any time at all this week thinking, how could I spend more time in the Bible? Did we spend any time at all this week thinking about how can I spend more time in prayer? How can I carve out more time out of my schedule to spend more time in prayer? Did anybody spend any time this week thinking, how can I get to church more often? How can I get to Sunday school? How can I get to church on Sunday night? How can I get to church on Wednesday night? What changes do I need to make in my schedule? Did anybody think this week about how you could give more to the Lord's work? I mean, did you examine your budget and say, hey, there's some things I could cut out. I could give a little bit more to the Lord's work. How much time did you think this week about how to witness more, about how to pass out more tracts, about how to tell more people about Jesus? I dare say that not many of us did. You want to know why? Because we are content with where we are. We're satisfied with where we are. We think we are giving God enough. And we see no desire and have no desire to change. And we got it all backwards. I was talking to some folks in our church, and they were telling me that one of their kids bought them a lotto ticket. And they were dreaming about what they were going to do if they won the lottery. And most of us said, well, that's gambling, that's a sin. But I dare say that if you found a winning lotto ticket on the ground that was worth $1 million, it wouldn't take you very long to figure out what you were going to do with that money. It's human nature. It's our old nature. It's our old nature. It would take us 5 seconds to decide what we're going to do with the money. Do you get my point this morning? We got our contentment all backwards. We got it all backwards. We're content with what we're doing for God. When Paul said, not me, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't gotten there yet. I want to do more. I'm pressing toward that mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And he was not content in his Christian walk. And yet when it came to the things of the world, he said, hey, it doesn't make any difference. I'm content with whatever God gives me. Maybe a lot, maybe a little, doesn't matter. I know he's not going to let me do without the things that I need. Where's your contentment at this morning? Where's your discontentment? You're only going to change. You're only going to desire more if you're discontented. And here's my point this morning, just one simple point. Learn to be content with what God's given you in this world. And again, not saying you shouldn't try to improve yourself. You that know me, I'm not against that. I'm just saying, learn to be content with what God's given you and be discontented with where you are in your Christian walk. Because there's a lot of good Christians in this room, but probably hardly anybody measures up to the Apostle Paul. And when he says, I haven't gotten there yet, I can do more. I have a desire to do more. I want to do more. I'm pressing toward that mark. And he did it because he was discontented with where he was. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you would be discontented with not only your future, but your present. There's only one way to change it. That's to come to Jesus Christ. For the vast majority of us that are Christians, I say to you, you're only going to change if you get discontented. Want more in your Christian life. Want more. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Sometimes it rebukes us. And I pray that you'll do to each one this morning, Holy Spirit, what you know needs to be done. I pray that we get our contentment and our discontentment right and in the right places. Father, I pray if there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they would see the sin that separates them from you. They would see the future they face without Christ. And they would see how empty life is even here without him. And I pray that you would help them come, make a decision to receive Jesus. And I pray for every single one that's like that in this room this morning, that in just a moment when we stand and sing, they would come and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.